Welcome to the Homeschool Show from North Carolinians for Home Education. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill, and we have a brand new co-host today on a new program so that we're doing this online. This is Diane Helfrich. Hey, Diane.
Hey.
How are you doing?
It's good. It's good to be here. I'm excited about this.
And I'm excited for you to get to know Diane. She's going to tell us a little bit more about herself later as our development director for NCHE. But first, how about you let us know what we're doing today?
Okay. Well, we have a chess tournament that's coming up, and we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about the Day with the Hornets, which is something we've been doing for a few years now. And it's a really exciting night for basketball people. And we are also going to talk about an analysis of homeschooling that was put out by the Washington Post. Matthew is going to have a little conversation with Chap Bettis, who is the author of The Disciple Making Parent. So that's what we have planned today.
Yeah.
So in the homeschool news, the Midwinter Day of Play tournament, the chess tournament, is in Kernersville, January 20th, 2024. And if your kids love chess, this is a great way to get together with some other kids and come play tournament style, which is a learning thing all unto itself. And you can spend a whole afternoon. Kids love this. I can tell you that our chess tournaments are really well attended and exciting, and people love them. So they play at least 4 games, and they're going to have time to play additional pickup games as well. And there will be more information when you register at nche.com/fieldtrips. So take a look at that. And then the NCHE Day at the Hornets is scheduled for January 8th, 2024. My gosh, we're almost there. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. in Charlotte. And the Hornets are taking on the Chicago Bulls. So that should be an exciting game to be part of.
Right.
And not only are the ticket prices reduced over what you can get at the box office, but those coming along with the group get to have shoot-around games on the main practice court for the Hornets for 3 hours. They get to participate in high-five cheer tunnels as players run onto the court. You get a free Hornets t-shirt and early VIP admission to watch the pros warm up. So again, that's under nche/fieldtrips. It is a great, great opportunity. Parents, take your kids, invite friends. It's a really good event.
All right. So now with the rest of homeschool news, we're going to talk about this interesting article from the Washington Post where they're doing an analysis of the population of home education, which is exploding. The title is Homeschooling's Rise from the Fringe to the Fastest Growing Form of Education. A district-by-district look at homeschooling's explosive growth, which a Post analysis finds has far outpaced the rate at private and public schools. So that's the big headline here, is homeschooling is growing way more than private school and public school. So we're going to dive into this, and Diane and I are going to talk about it a little bit. So what I've done is I've drawn out a few quotes. I'm going to read some of the content from this article. To give you a gist of it. Here's how it starts. Homeschooling has become, by a wide margin, America's fastest growing form of education, as families from Upper Manhattan to Eastern Kentucky embrace a largely unregulated practice, once confined to the ideological fringe, a Washington Post analysis shows. We can kind of already see the flavor here, can't we, of where this is going? Unregulated and ideological fringe. Well,
right.
We'll see. A dramatic rise in homeschooling at the onset of the pandemic has largely sustained itself through the 22-23 academic year, defying predictions that most families would return to schools. Now, as we know, some families did return to schools, but what's really interesting is the rate of growth is continuing to increase. And many of those students that we thought would go back didn't go back and stayed homeschooling, didn't they?
Right. And the other thing that I've seen is there's been quite a move in the ones that went back and don't like what's going on there and have come back out.
Got it. So here's the actual statistics. In states with comparable enrollment figures, the number of homeschooled students increased 51% over the past six school years. Now, what's interesting about that is that goes beyond the pandemic, right?
Right.
Far outpacing the 7% growth in private school enrollment. Public school enrollment dropped 4% in those states over the same period, a decline partly attributable to homeschooling. Wow, 51% growth in home education and 7% in private school. And of course, a loss in public school. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Right. Absolutely.
Despite claims that the homeschooling boom is a result of failing public schools, the Post found no correlation between school district quality, as measured by standardized test scores, and homeschooling growth. In fact, high-scoring districts had some of the biggest spikes in homeschooling early in the pandemic, though by the fall of 2022, increases were similar regardless of school performance. Now, I have to say, I didn't guess that. I kind of would have guessed that the public schools that were struggling, those areas would be where you would have more growth in home education. At the same time, I see that it isn't, what that tells us is that the quality of academics isn't the primary driving point. There are different driving points besides the quality of academics. And I think that's true. That does make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But I think, you know, COVID kind of tore the curtain open on schooling, and parents got to see what kids were actually learning, not learning. Even in your high-performing schools, there may be elements in there that parents are not happy about with what their kids are doing, but they're also discovering that family time is a good thing in a lot of cases. And so, you know, we've just really kind of come back to what's important in our lives is our messaging time together. And so it's not surprising to me. I was surprised at this statistic. It's in thinking about it, it's not surprising to me.
That's my thought as well. So continuing with the article, it is a remarkable expansion for a form of instruction that 40 years ago was still considered illegal in much of the country. And of course, we've been talking about that here in North Carolina, haven't we, Diane? Because next year, 2024, is our 40th anniversary. That's right. And so NCHE was started before it was even legal in North Carolina. So this is a very interesting point that is growing so fast, even though it's a somewhat new movement.
Right. Well, we had people that went to jail. We had people that were in the early throes of the definition of it. And it's changed. And one of the things that I've seen is that the reasons people are homeschooling have kind of changed over time. And it did used to be a more specific sector of society that was wanting that for their kids. And now it's kind of everybody. Very much changed.
Right. So the last little line here that I pulled out is the rise of homeschooling is all the more remarkable given the immense logistical challenges many parents must overcome to directly supervise their kids' education. So there's a couple of points here. One is homeschooling is becoming easier and easier, and that's good. However, it's still a big decision, isn't it? It's still hard. It still requires extra time, extra energy, extra funds, extra thinking, extra engagement. I appreciate that it's pointing out that people are going to this not because it's the easy way, but because it's the good way for their family.
Right. Well, and, you know, people still panic. I follow and answer questions on a lot of Facebook groups, and people still panic when they start. It's like, I don't know if I can do this. Somebody tell me how to do it. And there's this feeling that I have to recreate the brick and mortar school in my house, which is not really what works best for homeschooling, but that's a whole other topic. But there's what hasn't changed, the volume of people coming out, the willingness to homeschool has increased greatly. What hasn't changed is that fear of I'm going to ruin my child's life. And in fact, you're not.
Yeah, so that's right.
Even kids will tell you that.
That's right. Especially later.
But one of the things that I wanted to say, Matthew, is, you know, when we look at NCHE, homeschooling has been growing in NCHE for in North Carolina for a bunch of years.
North
and we're fundamentally one of the largest states in the nation for homeschooling. I think we're second to Alaska, but the way their system is set up, they report to the public school. So I don't count them. We're the biggest. But anyway,
and what you mean by that, to clarify, is per capita. In other words,
right.
We have the highest per capita homeschool population of the nation because we don't count Alaska.
Right. So, but the thing is that the way NCHE has been structured, the slower growth that was coming, we were able to kind of adapt to that. But as the homeschool growth is escalating, what we're finding is that we need to be doing a whole lot more in order to support this onslaught of homeschoolers. And right now, we're only reaching a small portion of the homeschoolers in our state. And with the onslaught of homeschooling will come people looking more closely at homeschooling. We really need to reach these people and make sure that they're doing homeschooling well for them, but also just for the state of homeschooling in North Carolina so that it remains a really good means of education, which statistically it is. Statistically, homeschoolers are doing extremely well.
That's right. And so one of the things that we've been working on is making sure that we have the people in place, like our marketing director, and making sure we have the technology in place, the new software that we've been working on. We are investing in this next year as much as we can into reaching more families. Our heart, of course, is to help them homeschool with confidence and joy. And they need information, and they need encouragement, and they need connection, and of course, they need protection. And so that's what we're doing. And so here's the request. And that is there a way that you can financially support NCHE here at the end of 2023 to set us up and get us ready for 2024? Because we are going to break the ceiling in 2024. We are hitting a ceiling of our population reach. We're going to break that ceiling. And that's why we're doing everything we can so that we can reach more parents and give them everything they need to homeschool.
You know, if I can just, you know, this will play out a little bit more with our 40th year next year. But NCHE has been there since the beginning in a ministry of providing connection for homeschoolers, helping homeschoolers know the best ways to do things, creating the groups, doing the legislative work. Oh my gosh, the amount of legislative work. Think about what it would have been if NCHE had not been there. And I know I'm getting ahead of us a little bit, but the importance of NCHE continuing to do these things is growing along with the population that's growing, and we've really got to invest to meet the need. And so we do need the help of many people to do that because we are a member and donor funded nonprofit. Right.
So you can go to nche.com/give and find out how to make a recurring donation or a one-time gift here at the end of this year, and we appreciate your support. Why don't we check out our homeschool conversations? What do we have there?
Let me see here. Matthew had a conversation with Chap Bettis, who wrote The Disciple-Making Parent, a comprehensive guidebook for raising your children to love and follow Christ. And you can learn more about his ministry and other resources at the DiscipleMakingParent.com.
Yeah, I really enjoyed my conversation with Chap, and looking forward to sharing that with you. So let's check it out.
Okay, we want to welcome onto the show Chat Bettis, and a mutual friend connected us recently, and we share the same heart for home discipleship and parents taking on the responsibility of discipling their kids. I just found out we also have both been involved in speech and debate, so we have several connections. Chap, we're really glad to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's a joy to talk to you.
And so tell us a little bit about where you are and your family.
Yeah, so my story, I'm in Rhode Island now in New England. I grew up in the South and came to Christ as a child, but ended up going to college up here in New England, planted and pastored a church for 25 years. And along the way, God blessed me with a wife and four children. And they are now 32 to 26. And by God's grace, was able to homeschool them. all 12 of their high school years.
And, okay.
Yeah. So they successfully did that, or my wife successfully did that, and we all worked together. And yeah. So, and then 10 years ago, started a ministry aimed at helping parents pass the gospel to their kids. Just really, homeschooling is a very good way to do family discipleship, but sometimes we can get sidetracked by teaching them math or whatever and forget to disciple them. And so
right.
That was my heart to think through what am I trying to do here?
So would you say that discipleship was one of your primary original motives in choosing to homeschool, or were there other things that caused you and your wife to choose to homeschool?
Well, we both had been teachers. She's an elementary teacher. But I would say our primary motive was family discipleship. We felt like this is a great way to spend time with them. We didn't want to get so torn up in all activities that we had no family identity. So we were able to spend time at home, talk through conflicts, character issues as well. So, I would say it was the primary issue. Education quality was in there as well. But I think we're both... So
right.
How can we faithfully pass the gospel to them?
Well, can you share maybe, I don't know if you want to prioritize like some of the more critical principles or beginning points of as we talk to our homeschool parents here, how to encourage them in discipling their children and the principles that you feel are critical for that.
Yeah. I'd say that one, and it's in the title, that the most, as much as I love Deuteronomy 6, Ephesians 6, the most foundational parenting verse, I would say, is Matthew 28, 18 to 20, make disciples. And ultimately, that's the North Star. That's where we're aiming. We're going to get off track. I'm told the plane's off track 90% of the time, but it still gets to its destination because it's constantly making corrections. So that's the North Star. That's where we're aiming. So at the end of the day, I didn't get my math done, et cetera, but we're working on passing the gospel. We're making disciples, teaching them, evangelizing, teaching them. So I'd say that's one thing. Another foundational verse is 2 Timothy 3:14-15. Timothy grew up in some sort of God-fearing home. And Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, as for you, continue what you've learned and become convinced of. And I think this idea, which is, as I've done conferences and I'll do informal surveys, is the idea that our children, as young children, need to learn the faith, but yet they also need to be convinced. And I think the cultural language, the way I ask it in a conference, I'll say, how many, raise your hand if you grew up in a, heard the gospel at a young age, profess Christ, and okay, so I said, now, keep your hands up if there was another time your faith became your own.
Mm-hmm.
Every hand stays up, almost 99%. Mm-hmm. So I think what that means is we are excited and happy and rejoice that our young child has made a profession of faith. And yet we also say, okay, we're going to keep talking and walking because they have to be convinced.
Right.
So I would say that, and just because I'm homeschooling doesn't mean that we're interacting this way, because it can be awfully easy to go to events and do this and this, and and sometimes doubts, things are going on in their heart, depression.
So this is such a critical topic of helping the children, helping the kids own their faith, you know, the difference between, okay, I've learned this and now I believe it. So what are some of those principles or strategies or understanding the process that you would give parents to help them or bring them to that point?
Well, I think being aware of it. So we're discussing it. And, you know, I'm not surprised by it any more than I am by their body growing. You know, I expect their body to grow. I expect mm-hmm. them to say, do I really believe this? And one of the chapter, I have a couple chapters in the book, doubting the truth of Christianity and doubting the goodness of Christianity. So today mm-hmm. I think that the attack is on the goodness of Christianity, Christians, mm-hmm. especially in New England with the whole gender thing. We're the bigots. Mm-hmm. we're the horrible people, hurtful people. And so just to expect that those questions are going to come, we're not going to get bent out of shape. And we're going to be able to, respond to those. I think also just as a homeschool parent, just because we're so involved in the life of our kids, in a sense to say we are shooting them as arrows out. And so we need like, that's the ultimate goal. We move from control, I would argue, to influence when they're in the teenage years, less and less control, more and more influence. And then at some point we have to say, we're done, and they're making choices on their own. And so I think mm-hmm. to realize I'm not just raising a child, I'm raising an adult, I'm raising someone. And they're going to live differently than I do, and continually having those conversations and sometimes they make choices we wouldn't, but if there's a warm-hearted relationship, so here's a mistake I made. I think as a young dad, I believe Ephesians 6 wholeheartedly, children are to obey their parents 100%. Absolutely. But I would have said, if you had asked me what's a godly family, I would have said obedient children. As a young dad, I would have said obedient children. I think now I would say a joyful family. Yes, there's obedience, but there's joy. You're reflecting the joy of the Trinity. They enjoy being around you. You enjoy being around them. In my parenting 101 course, I to say this: parenting is about affection and authority. So we, in general, this younger generation sometimes has problems with the authority. They're nailing the affection part, but perhaps those in your audience, maybe can be, I was a little more on the authority side. So, just having that joy. At the end of the day, do they like being part of our family, and do we have an emotionally connected relationship? And I think that's going to get you through those doubts. So now we can talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So are you saying the joy comes from the balance of affection and authority, or would you add other ingredients into what is it that brings us that joy, that joyful family?
Well, I think in the Trinity, you see, of course, the Son honors the Father. So yes, children who are honoring and obeying their parents, yes, should be there. But for me, it's like, as a dad, I want to be the chief encouragement officer. I want to, I'm the one saying, we have the best family. Your mom is the best mom. Let's have a secret family handshake or something like that. Sort of that joy, that fun. At the same time, I'm also saying, okay, you're going to obey me. There's consequences if when you don't. It's not one or the other, but it's both and where I'm training for obedience, absolutely. 1 Timothy 3:4, a pastor's manage his household well, see that his mm-hmm. children obey him with proper respect. So it is possible, but and yet as our joy, as our family reflects the Trinity, joyful as well.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us this week for the Homeschool Show. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any topics or questions or feedback for us, you can contact us at thehomeschoolshow@ncag.com. And as usual, we'd love it if you would share this with your friends, with your family, and anybody else that you know might benefit from it. And until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.